Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it to your advantage and for subscribing to my free newsletter, which you're doing, and for using our blog, which you're doing a lot. We like it when you do that, and check out all the other things there on our website. Ann Holmes is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Ann's a new friend. She is a serial entrepreneur, and maybe I should say, a very successful serial entrepreneur. She's gone from success to success to success, and now she's a consultant, clipping her coupons, I'm sure, and writing books. And her book is called There's a Business in Every Woman by Ann M. Holmes, and she's our new friend. Ann, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Tell the audience a little bit about, because, you know, Ann, you've been in business for a number of years, and there are women out there right now listening to you who are where you were when you started, you know, what did you start your career? Probably, what, 12, 13 years ago, Ann?
A little more than that.
but let's just say that's the case. And but there are women out there who are where you were in those days. What would you like to say to them?
Well, the most important thing, twofold. One is any woman listening who already has her own business, even if she's at home working by herself now, which is perfectly fine, that's the starting point. And from there, you just take a good long look down that tunnel and think about where would you like to be? How much money do you think you could make with your business? And when they say the sky is the limit, the sky is the limit. This book is also very good for women who are working in corporations but feel they're tired of the rat race, not quite sure what to do or how to get out. If they have something else that they're really interested in and would like to pursue, be it interior design or gardening or photography, start organizing a plan so that you can leave your company. And again, most women start out working from home. You need very little money to start up, $2,000 or so, and you can be off and running. And then from there, you start building your company. And if you build it successfully, as I did three times, you can then put it on the market to sell it and often make millions of dollars.
I get a lot of questions of women and men saying, what should I do? Where should I start? What should I go into?
Okay, well, the most important thing in terms of starting a business is whatever it is, you have to have passion for it and you have to be competent at it and work to build up that core competency. That's step one. My book outlines seven steps to building a business, and step one, the first step, is very important. You have to love what you're doing because you're going to be doing it for some time. Now, again, it can be photography, landscaping, interior design, graphic design, creating websites, event planning, catering. A lot of women like to go
manufacturing.
Into that.
I've met many women who have gone into manufacturing in the last few years.
Well, the manufacturing is big for women, and another area that's become bigger and bigger is the professional concentration of women electricians, women plumbers.
And construction companies. I've met a lot of women who are in construction.
General contractors. You're absolutely right. And they're really able to market themselves very successfully on that woman-to-woman basis of, you know, I will explain to you correctly, and I will charge you correctly for services taking place in your home. So whatever it is, and again, all of these businesses, you can start from your home, so you need very little money. You need your own phone lines, of course, and maybe a fax machine, your computer, etc., and you can be up and running. And
go ahead.
Well, once you get up and running, you do need to really focus on and build your core competency, whatever that is, for a couple of years before, and market yourself as successfully as possible before you start thinking about going on to adding additional services or moving into professional office space and so on.
And gentlemen, everything that Ann is saying that she just now said applies to us as well, not just to the ladies. These are smart things for men to think about as well. You know, you were talking about having a passion for things and loving what you do. One of the things that I try to point out to folks, Ann, is that is that small business owners operate in two universes every moment of every day that they're in business. One universe is the business that they're in, whatever industry that they do, the things that they do, their, as you say, their core competencies. And the other universe is the operation of that business, the accounting, the delivery, the human resources, the regulations, the tax paying, all that kind of stuff. And all those things will wear you out and will make you not want to come back if you don't love the other universe so much that you can't do without it.
That's absolutely correct, and that was my feeling as well. As you build a business, you have, of course, additional stresses that even, I think, in the most complicated corporate job you don't have, meaning you are responsible for corporate taxes. You are responsible for payroll week after week. You are responsible for benefits and making sure that you're doing as much as you can for your employees. But I found, again, it's worth it when you get up and running and you've got your organization going. What you just said, Jim, is absolutely true. Business owners, both men and women, do tend to get very wrapped up in their day-to-day operations, and particularly once the startup jitters are over and you're really off and running, you start to lose sight of, well, why did I get into this in the first place? Particularly if your company is doing well, and that's usually the case, and you've got a nice paycheck coming in for yourself, plus you're running your own show. And this is where both men and women, equally statistics show, they simply fall off the boat. They forget that this is an asset, and the asset is usually the most valuable asset in their life, almost always more valuable than their home. Yet if you ask a man or a woman entrepreneur, what's your business worth? You know, in a heartbeat, they can tell you what their home is worth.
Right.
But if you ask them in today's marketplace, good morning, what is your business worth today? They can't give you an answer. They don't know. And
right.
Even if they get an answer, if you say to them, well, how can you increase the value significantly over the next 2 or 3 years so you could sell it for maximum value and, you know, get a lot of money, create your own retirement nest egg? Again, they don't know how to do it. So my book outlines for them what you should do and the steps you need to take so that you're in the best position possible to maximize value.
And about almost 10 years ago when I started doing my show, the SBA had put out statistics that showed that 50% of all small businesses failed in 5 years. The recent information that they put out, that Chad Moutre over at the Office of Advocacy is putting out now, says that 50% of small businesses are failing in 4 years, a 20% acceleration. And when we come back after these messages, I want you to tell us, give us your thought on why you think that's happening and what we can do about that. It's 20 after the hour, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a quick break. We're visiting with Ann Holmes. She is the author of There's a Business in Every Woman, a 7-step guide to discovering, starting, and building the business of your dreams. And guys, you can get some stuff out of this too. This means everything she says, almost everything, applies to you as well. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Ann Holmes, the author of There's a Business in Every Woman. Ann, you got a website for the book?
Yes, I do. www.ann-holmes.com.
Ann-holmes.com. And the book, they can find out more about the book there?
Yes, they can.
And the book's available wherever books are sold?
Yes, it is.
And as we went to the break, I was quoting the statistics of how small business failure has accelerated at a rate of 20% in the last, say, 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I'm guessing, Jim, because I haven't seen any articles on it, but usually they say when businesses fold, it's for lack of financing and lack of resources. So, again, this is an important step in starting a business that you need to plan financially. How much money will you need going forward for a year? How long can you be in business potentially without a paycheck? Usually advocates say you should count on 6 to 9 months before you can start drawing money out of your new company.
That's conservative.
Yeah, that is conservative. So financial planning is key, and again, I outline this in my book. It's a step three. You've got to have keep very, very good financials and do proper financial planning.
Well, you're exactly right. They don't understand. A lot of small businesses don't understand the relationship between cash and accounting, do they?
No, they don't, and it's terribly, terribly important. You don't have to start out hiring an accountant full-time. That's certainly not necessary, but you do need to identify a very good accountant, someone with whom you can work, who understands the business you're in, hopefully somebody who can grow with you and is accessible, and meet with them once a week for a couple of hours starting out, or even once every 2 weeks. But they will most importantly help you project your cash flow, cash coming in versus cash going out to pay your bills, and let you know, you know, where you are or where you need to be or what you need to do to fix any problems that are coming up. See, and that can really help stave off disaster.
When you talk about they were undercapitalized or whatever,
yes,
that's actually a symptom of the greater disease, which is not understanding what it takes to grow a business. Because, you know, everybody says, oh, wow, I got some new business. I've got all, you know, my business is growing like crazy. But they don't realize that all that business has to be funded. It doesn't fund itself.
That's correct, and this is one area in the book that I spend a little time talking to the women versus the men, because men, when they start businesses, are much more comfortable getting commercial loans to help finance their business.
Why is that, Ann?
I think since time began, the relationship men have with money does differ from women. Susie Orman talks about this. Lois Frankel in her book talked about it, and it's true. Most men, and I did interview men for the book. The book is for women, but if you talk to a man who started a company and said, how are you doing? And if they're doing pretty well, they answer, I'm going to hit it out of the park, or I've got a touchdown with my company.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to women, if they're doing well, they say something like, oh, my luck is really going well. I'm doing pretty well. They have a very different relationship mm-hmm. with the finances of their company. And the most important thing that women still don't seem to understand well is if you get professional financing, once you start working with a professional banker and you have a commercial loan, these bankers are on the business playing field every day. They see deals done every day. They have a huge network, and they can help your company expedite growth on that avenue as well by helping you network. They can give you a lot of other resources rather than you struggling, you know, by yourself trying to figure everything out.
What can we say to women to get the, you know, one of the, when I talk, I've done hundreds of interviews on women's issues like you and I are having right now, and
mm-hmm.
and the thing that keeps coming up, and the women always either bring this up themselves, the women experts like yourself, or they agree with me when I do, and that is that if there's one thing women need to work on, it's their self-confidence.
Well, yes, and that self-confidence, particularly in a business, courses right through their veins on how they deal with money and how they talk about money. And most women, including myself, were raised, and I think it's particularly true in the South, were raised to believe that talking about money is crass and impolite.
Mm-hmm.
But in business, money is the cornerstone for the for-profit game.
Mm-hmm.
Money is what business is all about. So you have to get comfortable with the money. And one of the things I say in my book, at the last chapter, there's a story of 10 or 12 women like myself. I have a degree in history. I have no MBA. I don't have any training in economics or finance. And other women like myself who started companies and sold them for millions of dollars. One of our keys to this success was we got comfortable with the money. We know how to talk money. We can sit across the table.
Did you have less of a fear of failure? Did you have to get to a point where you diminished your fear of failure with money?
Yes.
See, that's
that
the
came
see,
very
see women. Women pay their loans back at a higher rate than men do.
Yes.
And that tells me women are more afraid of failing with finances than men are.
Right, but that's actually a very good thing in business. That's a driving positive force in business, if you're afraid of failure. And I would say, yes, I undoubtedly was, but I think I got over that in my first company because I had a partner in my first company. We sold it to CBS within 3 years of starting it. So that gets you by the mm-hmm. failure barrier very, very quickly.
Right.
It's helpful.
Right.
So that's one reason why I think small businesses fail. But, Jim, there's another important point about
30 seconds. Go ahead.
Failure of small businesses. When a business is sold, such as mine was, they take it off the chart. And I don't think there's a tracking mechanism yet to figure out when small businesses are sold, what happens to them.
Good point. That's a good point. Give us your website again, Ann. Another day?
I would love to, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Good time today. Thanks for a good job. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ann Holmes, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. Quick break. Right back with Elaine Allen. She's with Babson College. We're going to talk about the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor's Women Report, Global Women's Report on Entrepreneurship. It's 29 after. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.